And so he ends this chapter, right, by kind of raising a question, right? He says, a story without evil. He says, how can we be sure that this is the way that it had to be, right? It's not possible that God, or is it possible, he asks us, that God could have offered a better story that left evil out of the picture? And he says, the question then is, could his glory be supremely manifested to his creatures in any other storyline? And he answers, no, we must contend otherwise, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Right. So was the fall good? Yeah. In the sense that we are, see more evidence of God's character and nature so that he can be glorified even more. So... Yeah. It's neat. I really like this chapter, and chapter 10 and 11 were a really good one. I thought 9 was excellent, really, really good. 2 was also good. So this is just a neat way to think of you kind of hear the same story over and over again. You're like, okay, yep, I've read Genesis before, but now you can read Genesis just in kind of that different way that, makes you think of, oh, here's a story and here's what we're supposed to see and get out of. It's not just things happen and they happen to ultimately get to, 30 AD and then 33 AD and then a big event happens, sure, and then we can all wear a symbol of a T around our necks until we die and go to heaven.
Yeah.
No, there's more to the story. It's all fitting together. And one of the reasons we do expositional studies and Christians not divorcing themselves from the Old Testament is because to divorce the Old Testament is to divorce major portions of God's redemptive story arc and fruitful stories that we can see ourselves in and not only us, but also God's relationship with us. And then ultimately seeing God glorified in those moments, even at a time before a redeemer comes into the world and pointing towards that. That's the purpose of pointing towards the crux, the climax of human history, which is the incarnation and the cross and the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty neat stuff.
Right. So he tells us that it's not enough for a mere showing of the story, though. Right? Which is what he says, a telling of the story. He says there must be a fuller telling of its meaning to clarify its remarkable power. There must be an exposition, as you mentioned, mm-hmm. right, of the central theme that drives the plot of this grandest of all stories. There must be a theology, right, a teaching of it. And so next, he says, we're going to turn to that crucial explanation and thus to introduce the theodicy that makes the best sense of this particular trajectory that he's shown us.
Yeah, include the propositions that we kind of exalted out of there at first.
Right.